Mets. MVR, Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me in studio, we do this about once a quarter, I think. We usually wind up doing this every 3 months or so. We have Mayor D.C. Reeves in studio to basically not answer my questions, but to answer your questions on, I mean, open game, any subject. Now, it's not public forum. If you want to be Larry Downs Jr. complaining about COVID-19, I mean, not really relevant. But if it's city business, if it's related to his job, or if it's something he wants to answer, like my lightning round type questions, you know, he's open. Fair game. DC, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
There we go. Hold on one more time. There we go.
And take two. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always the way this board is all set up and with these
microphones.
It's designed to confuse people. So it's not well done. But anyway, 437-1620, 437-1620. Anything at all on your mind whatsoever? I just ask one question to kind of get us started. And we'll have him for an hour until 8:30. So, you know, we have time to answer your questions. The storm, obviously, which, you know, we all knew was not going to be some major event, but still, it's, you know, if it affects you, it affects you, right?
Yeah. And listen, I think this type of event is a net positive for our citizens because it's a test run for us, right? We dust off the protocol, the SOPs, our firefighters are out there, police was out there. We had a great meeting on Monday morning. We got all the storm drains cleaned out. Just, hey, anytime you get something where we don't have to have any negative impact, but we get a chance to test it, if God forbid, that we start to see more activity through the end of this summer and into the fall, then I think that's a net good thing. So what I can tell our citizens is we certainly took advantage of that. We ran it as if it was a Category 1, Category 2, and went through that process and got everything cleaned out and ready to go. Your team responded, and fortunately, we didn't need it.
We probably got more rain on Sunday than we've gotten since
That's
then.
Right.
The new Palafox is still going strong with the new stormwater management system.
Yeah, it's obviously become a new hobby of people at City Hall, you know, either David Stafford or I. We've had, as I'm sure you guys have been sharing the last couple of months, we've had some pretty big rain events just for it to be a non-hurricane type of event.
Right.
And it's still there. It hasn't floated away. So that's a good thing.
All right. Very good. So we got some questions coming in, 437-1620. Any update on the professional soccer coming to Pensacola?
Yeah. So we've had some good conversations. Where the sticking point is right now is the USL model, which I believe in this philosophy, is really built around a downtown stadium. It's not really built around putting one out, you know, in the suburbs or making its
like
own
OLF
location.
8 is not the kind of location they're looking for.
Correct. I mean, the idea is there's the development around it that kind of makes it an all day event. That is the model that they continue to replicate throughout the country. And again, I'm in agreement with that. That's difficult to find right now. I think there's two hurdles. One is the dirt itself. Where would a stadium like that go? Mm-hmm. And number two is the bed tax, in essence, at least philosophically, is spoken for at this point. The bonding of the bed tax for a greater priority, which is the Bay Center. So because naturally we're going to move to step two, which is how would we pay for a soccer stadium? How would the city participate? Even though we don't know at what level, we're not anywhere near there. Because you'd talk to the ownership group, you'd talk to the league. But, I mean, listen, we would be have our head in the sand if we thought that if a new facility would come in that there wouldn't be some government participation, right? It's not going to be privately funded 100%. So I think dirt was number one. And then the idea that the spoken-for bed tax with the Bay Center, Convention Center conversation is number two. However, one thing that I'm going to start looking into is it's one of those middle of the night moments where you're like, well, wait a second. We have a 16-year-old stadium downtown.
Community Maritime Park was the question I had.
Yeah.
So, okay.
You have developable property controlled by the city, not by private entities that could help offset any costs with rent and development to happen around there. So you've got the developability of contiguous parcels or next to or adjacent parcels. We have a 16-year-old stadium. We have, I believe, 5 years left on the Wahoos lease.
Okay.
When it's time to renew with the Wahoos, certainly, like every team in the country, they're going to come and say, we need new seats. We need.
Right, right.
So we already know that there's going to be some type of renovation coming, and it's about that time. And so now I'm thinking, well, why don't we put, can we kill lots of birds with one stone and maybe look at making it a permanently mixed-use facility?
Okay, so if you expanded Wahoos Stadium to become a joint hybrid baseball / soccer.
Yes, and what's important to me, and this is probably my sports journalism background, I couldn't allow myself to just do a soccer field can fit and we can throw some bleachers in the other
side. Right, like, right, a halfway kind of, let's just shoehorn it into something that's not really made for it.
And this is, there is precedent. There's at least 5 or 6 stadiums, Everett, Washington, Knoxville, Tennessee, El Paso, Texas, that have done this exact thing where they have a minor league baseball team and a USL soccer team. You might need some exceptions on the length of the field, the width of the field. And anybody listening out there that says, well, wait a second, we played UWF football games. But the problem is that goes east and west. In soccer, that is a no-no. You don't want to be the goalie looking into the sun during the game.
Got it. Makes sense. You'd mentioned that before in a press conference or something or with me or whatever. Yeah.
So it would really take turning the field where now the back of the goal would be kind of where the scoreboard is, you know, down the right field line. And, I mean, that, you'd have to figure that out, which would take more than just moving some walls around. So
not to play geometry on the air, but it seems like a baseball stadium – can be converted either direction just as easily. I mean, it's basically a square, you know. Yeah. So that's in the maybe zone.
I think the next step for us would be some type of feasibility study where we would have someone who's designed one of these before come and say, hey,
here's what it would take.
Yeah, here we looked at the drawings. We looked at this is about what it would take. This is what you could do. I think that's how we would dip our toe in there. Mm-hmm. To answer the ultimate question, certainly soccer is still a very real thing, but we've got to solve this bigger
that
issue.
Portion of it, especially with the scarcity of TDT money available.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, fair enough. We're talking to DC Reeves. He's here in studio for the next hour, taking your texts on any subject you want to ask him about whatsoever. 437-1620. Candy has traffic on the fives.
Right, and this is brought to you by choosing the team of the Legacy Lambert Moving System. Visit golambertteam.com. And as far as our roads go, we're watching a few incidents. Traffic light at Blue Angel and Dog Track seems to be showing issues. Slow down at the front gate, Pensacola NAS. Tree down on Chemstrand. That's north of 10 Mile this morning. It looks like the lights at Mobile and Michigan and Mobile and Softly Field are, in fact, working again. Shouldn't have any problems there. Tree down on Marcus Point behind the Tom Thumb, blocking half the road. I-10 to 110, showing an accident, but that has been moved off to the right shoulder. And Main and Barrancas, that railroad arm, is still down. Certainly use caution wherever you are. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know and text in 437-1620 alongside your questions to Mayor D.C. Reeves. This is brought to you by White Sands Electric, providing comprehensive electrical and generator services along the Gulf Coast since 1997. Free estimates available, whitesandselectric.com. Candy with traffic on the fives.
All right, back to Mayor D.C. Reeves, who's here in studio. Text me your questions, 437-1620. Mayor, this is going to both twist you up and break your heart.
Oh, no.
This is, okay. Question for D.C. What flippin', I added the flippin', but I think it's in the tone. What flippin' color are the signs on City of Pensacola parking spots? I thought I was parked in a city lot, had my handicap placard displayed. When I came out, there was a $47 ticket. I contested it. They dropped it to $15 and added a $4 service charge. So, honestly, where in the city can I park and display my placard and not get a ticket? Both infuriating and heartbreaking because this is so simple.
Not at the expense of this particular person, but I always love when this comes up because one of the biggest misperceptions with city parking, if you have a handicap placard, I don't care where you live, this is not for city residents only, Santa Rosa County, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola Beach, if you have a valid handicap placard, you can park in any city space free of charge 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Any space, not any handicap space.
Any space.
If you are, make sure it's visible, that we can see it, so that when a parking attendant comes by. But you can park in any space that you want. By the cost of a $47 ticket, that usually tells me it's a private lot.
Yep.
And side note, the good news is the black and white signs are now up.
Oh, they've been installed. At least at some of the private lots. Okay.
Yeah, that says this is not a government lot.
Did you make them yellow like the shape of a boot?
No, I listen, I did have the better judgment of not putting at the bottom, do not call the mayor or the city administrator. We did take that out. I thought that was, a good pause by us.
But you get on the parking issue, you get blame by people like me who disagree with you, and then you get blamed by people that just got in the wrong place for things you absolutely don't deserve any blame for. It's crazy, but blue lots are fine.
Yes.
Blue signs are fine. Every other sign, which is typically red, not the city.
Yes, and I can tell you, this is how much we get into it. There are studies about when we put a new sign up, about where people's eyes go, like a heat map. Like, think about like a,
how your brain decodes it. Right.
Yeah, and so the new signs that will come out October 1st, they're still same color. It's that light blue, any blue signs, green, red, all of that, anything that's not blue is not a city-owned space. But we're even going so far as I even added a city. There's like the P for parking, and it says city above it, on the signs. We want it to be as blatant as possible because it's more affordable. We're coming back with more. You will hear a bunch about this. I know we've talked about it. We're coming back with senior permits. Same thing. Anybody in the area, not just city residents, over 65, $10 a month. It'll be on your license plate. You don't even need to get your phone out. So you'll be able to pull right into a on-street space and walk away as if you were in your own driveway. And so I think that
you can call it the Park and Walker program.
Yeah, there you go. All right. We'll steal that. We'll license that from you.
I'm sorry. Bay Bluffs, why is this taking so long?
Yeah, great question. We asked the same thing in our building. First of all, we're grateful to get $2.2 million from the state and DEP. This is a perfect example when we talk about property tax. There isn't $2.2 million sitting around just in case there's an emergency closure of a park, right? We had to go find this money. The downside of grants, and this is of no fault of DEP or Tallahassee, the downside of almost every grant is there is a ton of paperwork that needs to take place. And that's why we're so blessed to have gotten more than $200 million now awarded to the city. And you think about our general
fund.
Not
for this, but across all the grants.
But you get excited when you get the email, and then you got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this particular case.
Because getting it. The time, the process, and then satisfying the requirements of verification involved in using a grant, all of that beginning, middle, and end, right?
That's right. And so in this particular case, with this one grant, for example, we got awarded it close to 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and by no delay on our side, they needed paperwork, they got paperwork. The bottom line is we weren't even given permission to use 1 cent of it, not 1 cent, until April 21st of this year.
Mm.
So, it's July right now. So we've been sitting there twiddling our thumbs, making noises, waving our hands to say, guys, we'd love to get this going. So it's absolutely necessary for us to wait. If we spent any money on any day prior to April 21st, then that would have been on the taxpayer in the city. There's no reimbursement. So it's like, hey, mayor, why didn't you just start working on this, that, or the other, since you knew you had the money? Not allowed per the grant rules. So you cannot expend $1 of it until you get that clearance on April 21st. So bottom line is where our feet are is we've got HDR on board. We're going through the full structural design, all of that. That'll go through the fall. The goal would be RFP for construction in the spring.
Okay.
So construction will begin. I can guarantee you that next year. But we got to know what we want to have and how far does $2 million go? And I've been tempering expectations.
Right.
We are not building a new community center at Bay Bluffs Park. We're $2 million is not a lot of money in the grant. When you're building stuff into an eroding bluff, that's not going to go real far. I don't think. I just want to be – I want to temper expectations. But nonetheless, $2 million is great. And we had zero. So you will get some new amenity. You'll get probably some new experiences down there, and we'll see what parts we can salvage and save, what parts we can't.
We have DC Reeves in studio with me until 8:30, taking your text on any subject whatsoever, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Some things can steal your sunshine. Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Aww. Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Scanning County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
How am I supposed to fit in with these guys when you've got me set up as an outsider? You've given me a different set of rules. The answer is, I can't. I mean, really, why didn't you just issue me a pink petticoat to wear around the base?
Did you just have a brain fart?
Welcome back. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've got Mayor D.C. Reeves here in studio for an hour until 8:30 with a kind of radio town hall answering your texts, 437-1620. Before we get back to the mayor, we've got Candy with traffic on the fives.
So now we're hearing that the light at Michigan and Mobile and light at Mobile and Softley Field is now showing yellow on one side, red on the other. That means yellow does have right-of-way. If you're moving through that intersection, use caution there and caution wherever you are. Traffic light at Blue Angel and Dog Track sounds like it's doing the same thing. Tree down on Chemstrand, that's north of 10 Mile. And there's another accident. This is on the interstate, it looks like. And as you're making your way around town, watch out for I-10 eastbound, mile marker 8. It is backed up quite a ways as you approach the spur. Use caution in that area. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slow down, it's Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Candy. Yeah. Okay, Mayor, we got a text here. I'm not sure what this question is asking, but I know you'll have an answer to what you think they might be getting at. The question is, when is Addicts Court going to move to where the old Baptist hospital is being torn down? Is this some rumor online or something?
That's correct. I think a lot of this started with the Fricker Center that, by the way, the city government has zero role in where public housing. That's a completely different board.
Okay.
And so that was
this
some
is one of these social media
rumors
that
when Fricker Center went in, that Ags Court was going to move. Anything about Ags Court, Marino Court, any of the public housing projects, they have their own complete separate board, separate governing body and all of that.
And not moving.
One has notified us that actually has control over that Addicts Court is moving at this point.
Also, in the long run, although there is an intent to develop a mixture of housing on the site where Baptist sits right now,
correct,
we are in the not even yet deciding anything phase with that. And It will certainly not become some massive public housing project, at least not if you and the rest of the city council have anything to say about it.
Yes, that's correct. If that could be confused anywhere, it's that, yes, housing, mixed income housing,
right,
all sorts of opportunity will happen at Baptist, but that is there's zero correlation between the existence of Attucks Court on Cervantes Street and the Baptist project.
Very good. Oh, somebody did say city parking is real blue signs, and I said it out loud. And the zone numbers are only two digits. Private lots have four or more digits. Is that right for zone numbers?
That is right.
Okay.
Two digits. Small note. Yep. That's a good delineator.
Very good. Let's see. Is there a new Publix coming downtown?
There is.
We have 40 seconds.
Okay. Spring and Garden, where the Waverly, the old USO arches are.
Yeah.
Which will be saved, by the way. But there'll be a Publix and some retail on the corner of Spring and Garden, which I think is a good thing. It starts to drag not just Palafox, not just Balin.
Yeah.
We start to get some more extension of public-facing uses.
Well, for all of those residences, now we'll have, you know, grocery stores are a massively important service, right? So having that available.
Yep.
And will the old school building frontage also stay? Main Street?
Yeah, anything that's there that was meant to
historical
be preserved will be staying in this development as well.
Right, I figured yes, but, you know, it's the kind of question if we don't ask it, somebody's going to ask me later. All right, we have more questions for the mayor coming up in just a minute. Like I said, we've got him until 8:30 this morning. So text me your questions, 437-1620. I know a lot of the questions coming in are things that he gets asked all the time and has no power over, like reopening the Grand Hotel. But we'll talk about it. You know, whatever's on your mind.
Hey, happy to talk about it. Yeah.
You know, we've covered it, but that's important because people don't know and they want to learn.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hallucinate, disaggregate, mediate, alleviate, try not to hate, love your mind.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Man, I love that video from NXS. That's a great song. We're doing a one-hour town hall on the radio here with Mayor D.C. Reeves, by the way. This interview / segment / whatever you can call it is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with the legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Text your questions at 437-1620. I will get to as many of them as we possibly can. Question next for you. By the way, Mayor, welcome back. Good to have you, sir. Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely.
We do it about once a quarter.
Yeah. Always enjoy it.
The Grand Hotel. You know what? You need to come up with the top 10 things people ask you about that are actually very easy to answer and explain, but really aren't even your job at all.
Yeah.
And I think this has got to be in that category, but you're still trying. So Grand Hotel, where are we at?
Yeah, so Grand Hotel, actually, I think I have a meeting this week with another potential buyer. This is probably my fourth or fifth.
Okay.
And I always point this out. The government does not control the future of someone else's property. So understand, this property is not owned by the city.
Mm-hmm.
It is up to code. They continue to air condition the building. In fact, they're not even required to do that. If there were missing windows or it was becoming a nuisance a la 1750 North Palafox.
Which is definitely that.
Yeah, and so we are going a completely different avenue
there.
That's
the old medical facility in front of the ECU wave tank, which people don't know the reference.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's right. So we are pursuing whatever our capabilities are to eliminate that blight. But this is a building that is compliant with code, that is privately owned. And so I, like every citizen out there, why wouldn't we want something activated? So
right.
So I'm right there with you philosophically, but just to get a base layer of what is or isn't controlled by the government, this is a privately owned parcel. However, this is just a prediction. I think the private market will start to resolve this as momentum builds with the Bay Center. In other words, maybe buyers that have explored this that maybe didn't pull the trigger before, if they knew that there was a $7,500 million renovation going into the building next door, that's naturally going to.
And a convention center light and all this kind of
exactly.
stuff. You
it's
know.
It's going to increase the value. So bottom line is this. I think the next government involvement in this, one is I'm certainly happy to meet with any buyer of any private property to help advocate for the great things happening in our city. So we will continue to do that. But I think there'll be a discussion at some point with a potential buyer, with the CRA, if we want to do some type of tax abatement that ensures the preservation of the train station,
mm-hmm.
maybe a parking structure that could go across to the Bay Center if we end up needing it located on mm-hmm. that site. So there's lots of conversations to have where there would be government involvement. But at this point, in terms of recruitment of who is going to to open the next hotel or whatever they're going to do with it. We're just really active bystanders at this point.
That's a very diplomatic way of saying that nothing's going to happen for 2 years. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, sucks because we all want it to be.
I think if someone bought it in three months, there's lots of work that, I mean, there's you got a 40-year-old tower. You've got.
What have they been doing that takes so many years to do?
I know that, and certainly I don't want to speak for the private property owners.
Yeah.
The majority of the delay has been on an insurance claim against Sally.
We understand that.
Yeah. So, okay. But nonetheless, listen, this is a ownership group that's ready to move on from this as well. So they're motivated. We are in pretty regular conversation. So just know that the city government in its secondary role here is going to do whatever it can to get that building activated, because that's a good thing for everybody.
Okay, this is not a question that came in, but I'm going to make you laugh when I ask it. You ready?
Oh, God.
Why are you wasting all this money rebuilding the fishing pier?
Great question.
It's a county project. It's a FEMA money. You know, they're paying for it from Sally. The one thing I just wanted to mention, because you made me think about it, is they have made a lot of progress. Like, they've got crossbars on the pilings. I mean, there's a lot of work that has been done on that thing, and it seems to be pretty, you know, close to real. I don't know. It looks like it's very well along. Anyway, so I need to
But ask. No, but hey, to tie in the question about Bay Bluffs Park, for example, where about grant money is.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for the county, but when you get money to replace a fishing bridge, it has to replace a fishing bridge.
That's a perfect build, right.
A very common misperception is, well, wait, $20 million, we could have used that on the homelessness. We could have used that. That's not how funding works, outside funding that has specific tasks. So I'm sure that the $20 million for this fishing bridge, you had two options, give it back or rebuild the fishing bridge.
What percentage of the questions that you get asked are essentially a byproduct of people not understanding which government controls which issue or how funding pots of money are the answer to the question that they don't understand why we did this instead of that? What percentage of the questions are that?
The majority.
Okay.
And I always say this, too, is like, listen, before I was in this job, I wouldn't have the understanding.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are trying to put food on the table, get your kids picked up from school, all of those different things. And it's complicated. It's complicated because of so many government entities, again, school boards, counties, cities, who does what. I only bring that up to say, you know, a lot of people ask very good questions like today that maybe it's perceived or misperceived.
Right.
But I always say, hey, take a pause when you think the city can do something or the county or Santa Rosa County or Gulf Breeze can do something. Many, many times, the vast majority of misperceived responsibilities of the government is built around just a lack of understanding of who is in charge of doing what. But that's hard to track. And so, again, I sympathize with that, totally understand it as a citizen. So we try to do the best we can to educate on that.
Even elected officials sometimes don't understand this. And
I mean,
that's true, too. We're talking to D.C. Reeves. He's here for another 15 minutes. Text me your questions, 437-1620. Candy has traffic on the fives.
I-10 eastbound at mile marker 8 showing an accident. Use caution in that area. It was at a standstill, and now it's at a slowdown, so it looks like stuff has been moved. Santa Rosa County taking a look at Highway 90 at Watkins Street in Milton. They're showing an accident, but not a roadblock this morning. Looks like that tree has been picked off Kemstrand, so you shouldn't have any problem there. Watch out for I-10 near 110. That is where the slowdown is. A traffic light issue at Blue Angel and Dog Track. Still slow as you're making your way onto the front gate of Pensacola NAS. And then the light at Michigan and Mobile. And, of course, Mobile Highway and Softly Field is out. And as I understand, Mobile Highway has a yellow light. That means right of way. The other two lights, they're all flashing lights. Yellow flashing has right of way. Use caution there. Caution wherever you are. Avoid that area if you can. 437-1620. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Somebody says, can we get a four-way stop at Cedar and Palafox? People park on the side of the road. It's very dangerous with the new hotel going up. Thoughts?
Yeah, so we, without belaboring the point, we actually have to do a lot of studies before you put a four-way stop in.
Sure.
I know that sounds very governmenty, but the reality is if we put one in and we just flippantly put them in without studying it, and then someone were to get hurt there, There's lots of lawyers that would be excited about that type of prospect. So it's not because we want to make it harder. It's that we have to make sure that there's a certain percentage ratio of cross traffic, for example.
Right.
Speed bumps, same way. That's why we have a process for that. But I always encourage people, DC Reeves at citypensacola.com. We have absolutely put in four-way stops and speed tables in areas that may not have been high on our list. So
you should always never put in, you should never put in speed tables.
Yeah, well.
You should never put in speed tables.
Come answer a couple of my emails then.
Okay. Candy, you wanted to?
What about the roundabouts on Palafox?
Yeah. Yes.
The mini roundabouts that aren't roundabouts?
Yeah. So thank you for
asking about this. The visual roundabouts.
What I love, I'm not smart enough to know the scientific term for this.
Yeah.
But the way it's being described, or like, why did they put these roundabouts in? That's exactly why. The idea is it's supposed to slow traffic
down. Confuse you a little bit. Yeah.
It's supposed to make you pause at the four-way stop. And then and so it's actually proving the point when people are like, why did you put this in? Do I need to drive around it? Or no, but
it's traffic that beat, calming by correct. Visual clutter or visual confusion.
So it is not meant to act as a roundabout. The idea is you come to a four-way stop, you see some change in the pattern of the pavement, and you can clearly see you can drive over it. Feel free to drive over, Candy.
Right through the roundabout.
We've got video of you doing it already.
It's weird because people will do both.
I saw Scott Lunsford told me he was following somebody and he watched the person bend around the curve as he went through the four-way stop intersection, which cracks me up.
You know what they did when they did that? They
were safe.
Down.
They were safe.
Yeah. It's actually exactly what the intent of the designer was to have that. It wasn't meant to act 100% as a roundabout.
All right. Let's see. Please extend the sidewalk on the west side of Scenic Highway from Hyde Park to Summit. Walkability is an important element outside of the downtown area.
State road, that's state right away. So that adds many layers of bureaucracy that we've touched on today. Nonetheless, very familiar with that area and would certainly not be opposed to that. But that's a complete state conversation. Same thing. Email me, DC Reeves at citypensacola.com. I am happy, as I do many, many times, to prompt FDOT and see. And for all we know, they may have a sidewalk plan, you know, going in that side.
I'm going to give a comment on all of this, which is, as a bike rider who rides all the time, my wife and I would go biking all over the place, and we have ridden all kinds of very unsafe roads that are, you know, no margin on the side for bikes and no sidewalk, okay? So, well aware, very bad. At the same time, I have also ridden many, many, many miles of roads that have multi-use paths that do not get used and sidewalks that do not get used. Right. And the cost of putting in that infrastructure or expanding road surfaces to make bike lanes is enormous. And you can make miles and miles and miles of that infrastructure and people never use it, and it winds up being money sunk into nothing. I mean,
that's right.
Both are true.
And I actually have some disagreements with CRA board members / council members about priorities of where you're spending streetscape dollars because – not because I think I like one road better than the other, but what's a nice to have, what's a need to have.
Yep.
And so the biggest project that we have on the mixed use is the Sun Trail, the one that's going to go from the 3 mile bridge to the port. That's already used, except it's on an archaic sidewalk that sometimes is up right against the gutter with fast traffic moving. So in my mind, like you said, we should start at where are people already using it despite the fact that the infrastructure isn't there.
Right.
That's the safest place to have that money.
Where is the grass worn because people are walking?
That's correct.
It's hard to tell where people would use a thing that doesn't exist and so they don't use it, but it's also hard to expect that people will use a thing. If you build it, they will walk is just not true.
That is correct.
You know, sometimes it's true. Let's see, 437-1620. Looking through here, I don't know that one. Let's see. Summit Boulevard needs more lights. There are none at the north side of Summit. Street lights, I'm guessing, is what this means.
Yeah, it must be.
Okay.
Happy to look into that. Every road and every infrastructure is different. I don't remember how many street lights are on Summit Boulevard off the cuff, but again,
that's true. I'm thinking, is it Summit? Maybe I'm thinking of Bayou. When you're heading over to the park, when you're heading around the bend, Bayou Tahar on the east side, it's very dark.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's another perfect example. Happy to look into that. I used to drive Summit quite often. My mom and stepdad lived over off Aravista Way there on Cordova Place. So used to drive it quite often. But Yeah, perfect. And if a street light's out, all that. Remember, street lights, some are owned by FPL, some are owned by the city, some are owned by the state.
Based on the road.
Back to our government confusion, right? Of no fault of our poor citizens that have to figure all of this out and hack the way. The best thing to do on those type of requests is please email me, dcreevecityofpensacola.com. And we'll look into it. Happy to.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We'll be back with Mayor D.C. Reeves in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to let you know that if you need a new roof, or you need to repair a roof, or you're not sure. I mean, you know, you might not be sure, or you're moving, or you got, you know, it's hurricane season. I mean, I don't know. You got a roof issue or a question, call Quality Roofing Solutions. They will take care of you. They will treat you like a person. They will not talk down to you if you do not know. They will not assume that you know. They'll answer your phone call. You know, the kind of the typical contractor experience that everybody doesn't love. They know about that, and they're trying not to be that. Brian Wirt started this company in 2006, and 20 years later and 10,000 roofs later with a 4.9 rating on Google, well, there's a reason that they're doing so well, and people continue to use them. I had a good friend who, you know, she heard me talking about them. She included them on her list. Had several people come in and do bids for her roof. They weren't the cheapest, but she thought, well, I, you know, let's see. They have a high rating, and super satisfied. Got exactly what she expected. Did the work, and like four other people on her street have since used them because of that. So, qualityroofingsolutions.com, 777-0961.
Woo! Summer's heating up, and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot, and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new cherry cola pork burnt ends, some brisket mac and cheese, or slider trio? And finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. Mmm. With four locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I will appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
Today, Pensacola Sports will be the guests on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports' focus has, and always will be, on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in today at 10:30 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing their upcoming events on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Women's Club of Pensacola's Christmas in July Marketplace is Saturday from 10 till 4 at the club downtown at 1551 East Heinberg Street. Shop local for bath and body care, jewelry, quilts, lamps, sweets, and more, benefiting the Women's Club. Don't miss the summertime sights and finds at the Palafox Market. Saturdays from 9 till 2, rain or shine. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Bill.
What?
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
All right, we are almost entirely out of time. Man, an hour goes by quickly. We've got D.C. Reeves here in studio with me taking your texts, a radio town hall. We do it about once a quarter. Let's see quickly. Palafox being all walking all the time. Oh, by the way, somebody texted in a couple of attaboys. Appreciate the extra benches and bike racks on Palafox. And because they had the city parking app downtown here, using it in Atlanta worked just great. Saved them money. So, you know, Perfect. Appreciate that. I know you don't get a lot of attaboys on parking, so I'll give you
right.
the one
Thank you
deserve.
So much.
Walking pedestrian only for Palafox.
Was that my mom that sent that in?
No. Okay. Who's yeah. Sherry? All right, go on.
Palafox.
Connie, excuse me.
So, no, bottom line of Palafox is, listen, that is a very polarizing topic of whether you shut down Palafox or not. I think there's ways to have some small closure certain days long term, but there are much busier roads in much larger cities than Palafox that do not shut down 24 hours a day. So I don't know that that's coming anytime soon, but I think the new infrastructure gives us some additional capabilities.
Very good. Let's see. Where did it go here? How do you balance the needs of the CRA and the general fund? since those are competing interests a lot of times.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, especially because CRAs are geographical, right?
Right.
Meaning if there's a park in a CRA and all of the property tax money around that park is getting thrown into one bucket, then justifiably the CRA should be paying for those things. So it is an absolute balance, and it's just ensuring that where we're using CRA dollars are justified and are being 100% used to better that area. So it's hard to generalize that because every one of those items can be quite subjective and quite gray depending on what you're looking at.
The senior parking pass is $10 a month?
That's right. Okay. $10 a month, and it open to any senior anywhere.
65 and up?
65 and up.
65 and up.
Any
okay.
county, any city.
Does not have to be a city resident.
That's right.
Somebody asked about parking at the new Publix. Will there be more parking? I mean, obviously, if there's going to be
a large
store,
part of their parcel on their plans is parking. It'll be kind of internalized. There'll be good out parcels for retail and restaurants, and then you'll pull in, and then they will have their own. They have to self park and have to meet parking requirements. So
and look, at Spring and that's not Maine. Spring and Maine
Spring
is
and Garden. Yeah,
is it Garden?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're right. I was going to say there's not a lot of traffic on there already. There's not a lot of traffic on Spring. There's obviously a ton of traffic on Garden.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Let's see. What is being done about airport parking? There's never enough. I mean, a growing airport, right?
So. Great question. We have as much parking as our master plan called for in 2038 for our airport right now.
So in other words, ahead on parking, and we're still behind.
Yeah. So I just say that to qualify that that does not mean we're doing nothing.
Yeah.
We're actually working on continuing to expand the tipping lot that we just put in about a year ago. So we are working very, very proactively beyond our 2038 deadline that we've hit already in parking. So just know that we continue to push that very, very hard.
Downtown water access for boats and sailing. What is being done more, the bail and slip and the regular Palafox,
stuff. We have the marina down at Maritime Park. That's free day use right now. We're actually adding water and power.
Oh, right, that's new. That's on the west side of Maritime Park.
Yep.
That's, 50, 25, something like that?
Yeah.
I forget.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. It's about 48 slips, I believe. But power and electrical are being installed there now. We had some additional grant dollars left over to put that in. So for the long term, you know, if you want to have people maybe eventually be able to stay overnight, and all that, we are not allowed to do that yet in terms of the grant, but we're just setting that up for success long term.
I just don't have enough time to ask you. I've got like 30 other questions. So any final thoughts? Is there a question that you know people do ask a lot that you you just want to make sure they hear it when you do something like this?
Listen, my final thought is I'm grateful to get to do this job, and I will reiterate, DC Reeves@cityofpensacola.com. Please reach out anytime. Any speed bump, any four-way stop, or any question about the Grand Hotel, reach out anytime.
You know, we didn't do a lightning round today. Do you have a favorite word?
Silence.
No. Silence is his favorite word. Do you sit outside on the porch or in the garage or inside your house in the summer?
Inside the house. Oh, I'm an air-conditioned guy. Come
okay.
On.
Gummy bears, yay or nay?
Sure. Sour, even better.
Okay. They don't get stuck in your teeth, sit in your pocket all day?
No, they do that too.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Dignified transfer this morning at Dover Air Force Base, Delaware. The fourth fallen U.S. soldier, now identified as 28-year-old Sergeant Angel Rampersad of Queens, New York. She was killed by an Iran missile strike at the U.S. base in Jordan. President Trump attending says he has no interest in meeting with Tehran until they're ready to convene.